Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the Yonder Podcast. This week we're talking to Anthony Peters. Anthony is a visual and performance artist born and raised on the Gold Coast. Anthony began his art journey from a young age. During his school years, he explored his passion for art and dance and then developed a career in graphic design. His passion for art and dance has never stopped growing. In more recent years, he's developed a unique performance act, providing the two and performing at many local events. So let's talk to Anthony. With the Yonder Podcast again, and this week I have a visual and performance artist, Anthony Peters. How are you, Anthony?
Yes, good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. We like to flag when and where we're recording this because some were recorded before the festival. We are recording this about a week after the festival, so we're still, I guess we've done recovering and we're getting back into the swing of everyday life. What was your experience at Yonder? So you were there as an artist. How did everything go? How was your festival experience?
Yeah, it was definitely it was a very different experience to have somewhat like an art festival in the middle of nowhere, like inland from Noosa. But yeah, I think it was where I did the mural. It was a nice view of kind of the hills, and I found it refreshing doing it out in nature, painting out in nature rather than confined in a room or like out on the street or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was really nice. I mean the sun was brutal, but the experience of it was quite nice. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, where at Yonder did you go there mostly for the art and the that side of things, or were you also interested in the music and the performance side of stuff?
I definitely came to create the art piece, but in going there and just seeing how the whole event was run, it was definitely a very unique experience for me. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to participate or stay for a long time during the festival.
Yeah.
But it seemed good.
Okay, yeah, awesome. So again, so you are you were one of the muralists that were there. So can you describe your piece for us? Because of course we're an audio medium. So just to give everyone an idea of what your project was, what you did there.
Yeah, so I did a piece that was Indigenous inspired, mm-hmm. just because of the land that we were on, and I recreated a piece that I've done on a smaller scale, but I brought it to a larger scale, which was an image of an Indigenous child using the Indigenous flag colours. So
awesome,
the child's face was in yellow, and on top it was black, and then on the bottom was red. So to me, that was the image is quite intense, I wanted to go down that particular route because kind of having more awareness about the issues of Indigenous people, and almost kind of seeing the generational curses
Absolutely, yeah.
Within both of our communities, really, you know, but unfortunately, I think that community is unfortunately a lot more lost, and whether they have been integrated into Western culture or whether they stick to their own culture, like there's numerous issues, and that's been something that I've that I've somewhat been exposed to this year, and just trying to understand it all. And for me, you know, I didn't feel comfortable doing like a piece that was using indigenous art forms, because that's not my culture.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But I think trying to respectfully create a piece that pays homage to the indigenous culture, but hopefully evoking some sort of emotion when people look at it.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the big things that everyone seems to be mentioning on the podcast, and definitely also at the festival, was the heightened presence of First Nations and Indigenous Australians, and their voice and their art, both music and visual. So yeah, I think it's definitely the Yonder. It was a great outlet for that discussion in particular.
Yes. So yeah, it was. Well, that's actually good to know. but yeah, I mean, it's like once again, like, you know, my parents are personally immigrants. So my father was Dutch and my mother's Filipino.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't exactly. I don't want to pretend to, you know, relate to the indigenous culture. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah.
So I try to acknowledge my place that within the situation, but at least try to, you know, understand where they're coming from.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you know,
so you describe yourself as a visual and a performance artist. So what does the performance art side of things entail for you? What does that mean for you personally?
Yeah, so the performance art, what I do. I create artworks with music, dance, and video projection. Okay. So it's definitely more of a, I guess, somewhat more of an interactive form of art which I practice in. And to be honest, it's like I've only started to try and get back into the fine art side of what I do, but the visual performance art, like the live art that I do, is more so where my passion lies, because I'm able to incorporate all these different art forms and either convey an emotion or a message, and do it in a way where it includes the audience, and it's not like here's a finished product and hang it on a wall or an art gallery and that's what it is. So I like the audience to witness the process of an artwork.
Yeah, absolutely.
But do it in a way that it is entertaining and emotive and thought provoking. So yeah.
Awesome. So so obviously, so that involves a bit more I guess a bit more than just paint and canvas for you. So
yes, absolutely.
So it's like projection and movement and what have you. So whereabouts would you usually perform? Where would people be able to see you and experience this work?
Yeah, well, I mean, as an artist, you're constantly trying to create opportunities for yourself, and because it's an art form that's not really common. So at this point of time, I will perform anywhere where anyone's open to it.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, but in the past, I have performed I've performed in various scenarios, whether it's a corporate event, whether it is for an event that is purely for the art culture, or if it is for charity. So definitely different places, but in 2020, my aim is to really push it even further and kind of work out the business side of, yeah, of being an artist, you
absolutely,
know?
Absolutely, yeah.
And being smart with that and creating more opportunities to bring exposure to this type of art form.
Absolutely, yeah. So it's very interesting. Like, I've had a look at some of your performance stuff, and it is quite amazing, okay, the projection and the movement. So I highly recommend, because you do have a website. Is there anything else that people can check you out on?
Yeah, so I'm pretty much on most social media platforms. So Facebook, Instagram. I do have a Vimeo channel as well. So and alternatively, you can check out my website. But in terms of, but I think my website pretty much displays most of my work. So if anyone is interested, please feel free to check it out. And once again, 2020, it's going to be, it's me stepping up my game. so there'll be a lot more work coming then. So
yeah, awesome. So I guess with your art and your performance, are festivals and this sort of outlet an important part of what you're trying to achieve, or is it just more of just an outlet?
I think it's a bit of both. Even though I have been practicing as a performance artist for 7 years, you know, with the reality of working and you know, responsibilities of life, I don't do it full time. Yeah. But that definitely is the aim. But within that journey, it's been trying to find my place within the arts community with arts festivals and applying for certain things. So as much as I would love to be a part of a lot more arts festivals, you know, it ultimately depends on what they want. So,
yeah. Oh no, absolutely.
But that's an honest answer. And I think every artist can relate to that. We all apply for things and we all have to face rejection in one form or another.
I mean, that's the life of a creative, isn't it? Yeah. It
definitely is. And it makes me realize why, you know, I'm 30 now, and it makes me realize why people just kind of, you know, I'm not going to pursue that. I'm just going to get a 9-to-5.
Yeah,
have more stability. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But I enjoy it too much. But at the same time, I have to be smart about it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, you gotta find that balance.
Yes, absolutely. It's finding the balance, or at least if it skews one way, just let it skew for a little bit and then bring it back. You know?
Yeah. So. Well, something I like to ask all of the artists, musicians, and visual alike is: do you have any strong influences? Do you really connect with any particular artists or I guess performers? Because you have a very particular style. It's very, very visually striking. I just want to know, like, if that's where that's come from and how you developed it.
Yes. I'll answer it two ways. In terms of fine art, as I've gotten older, a lot of my influences are from like Renaissance artists, like Michelangelo, but also one of my favorite artists is Salvador Dali.
Yeah,
like surrealism. I love how his art was able to show his skill and be abstract, it's surrealism. It's like making abstract artworks, and you know, they're dreamlike, but using such undeniable skills in order to communicate that that visual landscape where it's almost dreamlike. Like I, you know, and I feel like he's influenced a lot of graphic designers and,
absolutely,
and, you know, everything that we see today. You know, so I think his work is, I think his work is brilliant, and I wish I could create such artworks like that, but I can't at the moment. So.
I mean, that's the thing. You're only 30. There is many, many, many years ahead.
That's true. But when it comes to the visual performance art, I first came across an artist named David Garibaldi. So he is an American live painter.
Mm-hmm.
He might only be a few years older than me. But how he creates his artworks, he mainly does portraits, and he uses black canvas and gets, you know, different colored paints to create the artworks, and he has music, and he's quite energetic as well. So when I first came across his work, probably 7 years ago, I was like, maybe I could do something like that.
Yeah, awesome.
But I also have a background in dance as well. So during that time when I was developing this type of, you know, live art performance, I was at a time where I was kind of like, I've got art and I can dance, but I don't know, like, what's the purpose of both of them. So when I came across this particular artist's work, it just kind of made me think, maybe I can incorporate those two skills that I have.
Yeah, they're not so disparate.
Yeah, no. So, and then as I've developed it even further, like Michael Jackson as a performer and as an entertainer and as a artist and he definitely has inspired me ever since I was a kid.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
And he's the reason, watching his video, like music videos and concerts, that's what made me get into dance. And that's how I taught myself how to dance, by watching, watching him on the video cassette.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Well, I guess, we are all creatures of the media we consume. So it is interesting how one links into the other.
Absolutely. So for me as a performer, it's taking that, when he performed, it was electrifying. So taking that essence of like being electrifying within it, within creating artworks, and doing it in a way where it's energetic, and then at the same time it can be very mellow when it's appropriate for the piece. That's basically my influences for sure. And I think as well, and I think incorporating a message within the piece, probably a few years ago, kind of rediscovering Madonna's performance pieces. I think it was a concert of hers in 2006. For me, and I think at the time it was quite with the screens and the technology that she was using, and also incorporating certain messages within her performance, and doing it in a very sophisticated way, where I thought it was absolutely well done. So for me, like in certain parts of her career, in terms of a performer and the things that she's communicated in her work, has definitely inspired me as well on how to cleverly communicate a message or develop a concept within a performance, and doing it in a way where it's where it can be dramatic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or it can be very subtle.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for joining us, Anthony. It's been a great, great conversation. Very, very enlightening. And it's always something I'm discovering with this podcast is that everyone has a very different and personal approach to their artistic process, and it's great to kind of get in their head. So thank you for sharing.
Yes. No, well, thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, no problem. So we will make sure that we put links to your websites and all your socials in the show notes. Is there anything you'd like to say before we say goodbye?
Yes. Well, I don't know what 2020 holds, but hopefully next year within what I can do, hopefully everyone who's listening will definitely get to see the ripple effects of the things that I'm with the projects that I'll be working on.
Fingers crossed. Yeah. Look forward to it.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And yeah, thanks for joining us.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Talk to you soon.
Yeah, yeah, speak soon.
That's it for the Yonder Podcast this week. Join us in another fortnight where we'll be talking to more of the people of the Yonder Festival, and we'll continue doing that all year until the next festival arrives and we have even more people to talk to. Thank you to the Yonder Festival for helping us put this together, and we'll see you in a fortnight's time.
Can a song just objectively be bad?
Yes.
But that doesn't mean we can't learn from it. I'm Alex Smith.
And I'm James Keogh.
And on our new podcast, My Songs Suck, we talk to writers and musicians who share with us some of their earlier, less good content and reflect on how far they've come.
If you want to get in on the fun, head to That's Not Canon Productions or find us on iTunes, Google Play, or whatever podcatcher you use.
My Songs Suck, because everyone makes mistakes.
Just make sure you record them.
That's Not Canon Productions podcast.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.